just between us.
Hey!
Just between us.
Hey! I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and I'm constantly looking for products that will make my hair less frizzy.
Hey, I'm Gabe Dunn. I'm a writer, bi-con, bisexual icon, wink, and I have jaw acne. I don't know what I want to say. We both have physical problems, question mark. What do you mean? What do you mean about your hair?
Well, I have very frizzy hair naturally. And I've been just going and trying all these different hair products throughout my entire life. But I just got a new hair oil. I'm not that frizzy today.
No, I love it. You dyed your hair black again.
Yes, and nobody noticed.
I'm sorry. I know, but it's my favorite because it's like, it's always giving Betty Page. Like, I always like it.
Yeah, favorite that you didn't even notice.
I know, I didn't even notice. I'm sorry. But I got a haircut and you didn't notice. Melissa noticed.
Well, I never look at you.
Shot through the heart and you're to blame.
We don't have the rights. Anyway, this is Just Between Us, a variety show filled with heartfelt advice,
ridiculous games,
and brutal honesty, except when I lie just to burn you.
That's true. I'm so excited about our guest this week, which is Danny Tamborelli, who is the author of two rom-com books, one which is coming out in May and one that I think is already out. And also, you might recognize his name from All That, The Adventures of Pete and Pete. And he's just like kind of a jack of all trades.
Yeah, he was so delightful.
Delightful person.
I know.
Danny is also a dad, so you can hear his kids in the background, which is very cute.
Yeah, like it's a ambiance.
Yeah, it's real. It's very real. Especially like it's like a spoiler. He's talking about his wife and then boom, they have a baby.
Two
babies.
Wow.
Yep.
And later, we're going to be talking all about romanticizing your life. And why I'm trying to do that.
Oh, okay. You're trying to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
Okay. I mean, you did go to Italy. That feels pretty romantic.
No, that's not what it is.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Did you click the link I sent?
You know I didn't.
Okay.
Up next, we've got an exciting interview with our highly esteemed guest, Danny Tamborelli. So stay tuned. Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com. TRUVAGA.com and enter promo code Just Between Us to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's TRUVAGA.com. Check out promo code Just Between Us.
Just Between Us.
Welcome back to Just Between Us. It's time for the juiciest, most scandalous, most controversial segment known to all of podcasting. Tough questions.
This week on the show, we have Danny Tamborelli, a writer, actor, musician, comedian who rose to fame on Nickelodeon as the star of TV shows like The Adventures of Pete and Pete, All That, and Figure It Out. He currently hosts The Adventures of Danny and Mike, a podcast with his Pete and Pete co-star Mike Morona, the live comedy show Nostalgia Personified, and is the bassist for the band Joust. He is also the author of two rom-coms for adults, The First Date Prophecy and The Road Trip Rewind, with his wife, Kate Tamborelli, which is so cute. Hello.
I'm going to take that and bring that with me everywhere I go. That was like, what an intro. I feel like
people really love my energy on that.
It's great. Gave great energy and loving it.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. Okay. So first of all, your first book is based on, is it like pulled from your actual life with your wife?
It is. We did match on Tinder when Tinder was the only thing. It wasn't the total cesspool it is now, I guess. I'm not sure. It's been a long time now. The idea for the book, the similar meet cute, the same meet cute, in fact.
So you met on Tinder.
We met on Tinder, and I didn't know this until 6 weeks after we had already started dating, but she had not swiped on me. She recognized me, and she was like in like a nope, or so she says. Maybe she was like, no, but whatever. She swiped no, and was like, oh my gosh, was that who had, she deleted Tinder, and she did a whole new everything just to keep swiping to find me again, and then it matched. Yeah.
Oh my
god. How kooky is that? Yeah, you know, the the thing about it is, if that had been told to me same day, perhaps there would have been a little inkling to be like, well, I don't know if this is going to work out. But she snuck it in there, you know, after we were smitten with each other.
Because did she recognize you from your work?
She did. And actually, the funniest thing about all of that is that she was dating, not in the moment, but she had just dated somebody who was a big fan of my comedy stuff and would come to all my shows in Brooklyn and all these things. And so he had kind of like primed her, I guess, to be in the forefront of my brain, in her brain. So she, I like to say that she just really went out with me because she really wanted to spite that dude.
That must, and now you're married, that must bother him so much.
I know. It's and lived like six blocks down the street from where we live. So once in a while we will run into each other, and we do have like, you know, friends of friends who are the same. So like there have been moments over our courtship where like he'd be around, and I'm as long as you're not being a total asshole to me, I'm pretty even keeled, nice, will listen to your stories and be friendly and all. But yeah, sometimes it was a little weird.
you guys are the villains. You guys are actually the villains in the story.
I mean, you know, I guess so. I guess there's like a double bamboozle in all of this. So she didn't tell me about that. And I guess one of the reasons she stopped dating this guy was, you know, he was just too, he smoked pot too much. I think he was
okay.
And she wasn't really into that. And I, at the time, was smoking a lot of pot myself. And so I didn't tell her I was smoking weed that much. I don't really smoke weed that much. that in sports I lied about too. So our meeting just happened to start with a lie. But look at
and
us
now. And now the whole relationship is built on lies.
Built on just teeny little white lies. Well, that's what I said. I was like, well, what would have happened if I didn't, you know, open your horizons a little bit to see that it's not about the pot. It's about the user. If someone just sits around, if you sit around in your apartment all day and smoke weed and don't do anything, I can understand why someone would be like, oh yeah, I don't want that. But she found someone who smoked weed who's like, I can still do stuff. Like, I'll...
That's Allison.
Oh, good. There you go. See? So you know what I'm talking about. So I had to break down those barriers. It was less lying and more of a...
Right.
You know, just showing what the other side could actually look like.
And then did that really happen? You guys went on your date and a psychic said you were soulmates?
No, that's where it veers off. That's where it goes awry. The actual meeting in the book, when they meet at the bar, though, I was half an hour late, and Rudy in the story was half hour late. And he also wipes his shirt on his face because he was sweaty from running from the train to get there on time. And that was also true. And I also think that's you know, in that first moment meeting someone, you're like, sit down. Oh, and it's, sorry, I was late. I'm taking the flannel off and not even thinking twice. It was just like, shh, 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 shh. And then put it on the seat. And she just kind of looked at me And then we continue conversation. It worked out fine. But, you know.
Charming.
Very, yeah, very charming. I know I'm painting this beautiful picture of myself.
You are probably the first like child star that we've had on the show.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's
true.
Like a really interesting time to be talking to you because I feel like that's very much in the zeitgeist of like how child stars were treated. I guess my first question in that vein is like, what is it like to go on a date with someone you know who is so familiar with you as a character or you as a performer?
Well, I've had a fair share of instances living in New York as a single person where sometimes it could feel icky. You know, I wrote a song once called Cold Fog that's on a Challenge record that basically is all about that and about like, I would kind of be like, felt like Pontius Pilate, my hands, like, okay, you can stay over and I'll drive you home, but I'll probably never, this will not happen again. You told me that you always wanted to know what it'd be like to make out with little Pete or something like that. And it gets weird. And it gets, that's weird because first of all, I was 11 and 12. So
right.
The nice way of saying something like that is like, hey, like, you're the reason why I date redheads, you know, or something like that, which is really nice. And I do get that. And I'm like, all right, we need more redheaded aficionados and lovers out there. Like, that's important. But to kind of like, oh, you know, meet someone at the bar and you're talking and maybe you go home. And then like in pillow talk, there's like, I have to like just confess.
When someone says that, do you immediately go, I know what this is?
Yeah, of course. Of course. And, you know, I would say that the few dates that I was on through Tinder had certainly came off that way. I mean, I didn't have a bio or anything. I just had my pictures. That's what a dickhead I was. I was just like, if you know, you know, but I didn't want to write IYI, you know, I didn't even know
that's even more of an asshole thing to do is just put pictures of yourself and then write, if you know, you know. Oh my God.
Ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I would just try to be nice or like the expectations of like what people would think, like a child actor, you know, how they lived, how they would speak. I mean, in the book, in the First Day Prophecy, the main character, Rudy, is a former child actor. So I got to really put some of how I feel about it into the book fictionally, but, you know, drawing from my past to kind of, yeah, it was kind of cathartic in a way.
Yeah, I bet.
Which, and it was also a little like, you know, made it hard while we were editing because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that maybe I wanted to, that I was just, you know, spewing out writing that would be like, okay, we can, you know, this doesn't need to be here. But I'm like, but it's important to me. And it's like, wait, no, but it doesn't serve the story, dude. Like, you know, your book is not, it can be therapy if you're willing to let some of it go.
Yeah.
So, you know, learning how to do that was interesting. And then writing the second book, which has nothing to do with my life at all, almost felt like an easier time where it felt less like forced to like make sure that my feelings got across. Like I was really able to kind of be like, no, it's this character and it's, you know, my parents and my wife's parents would like sometimes like confuse us. You know,
oh
from the character in that, they'd be like, we couldn't read that sex scene because it's you guys. I'm like, it's not us.
Oh my God.
It's not us.
I wrote a graphic novel and the character is literally an Asian 19-year-old. And my dad would be like, oh, it was so crazy when you did this. And I was like, it's like, not
it me. Dad.
What? Like, what do you mean when I? He always, my mom just was talking about a fiction thing that I put on Patreon. And she was like, the part about the character, or she's like, the part about mommy issues. And I was like, it's not me. Like, I don't know how to explain. It's not me. I just kept repeating it's fiction. And then she would say something and then I'd go, it was fiction.
We're going to take a quick break, but stick around. Hi, everyone. Allison here.
Anyone who knows me well knows that I love to read. I am always looking for new books, and that is why I am so excited that this episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors. It was so fun for me to get to pick which book I wanted to read this month and have it shipped right to my door. Book of the Month makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles. They pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All the books are good, so you can't go wrong. Every aspect of the Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. They have a highly anticipated release at the beginning of each month. Books are delivered in this really adorable bright blue box, and there's a fun app to help you pick your book and track your reading process. They also offer great values on new release hardcover fiction. It's much cheaper than other options. Shipping is always free, and with a loyalty program, you get rewards and even lower prices the longer you stay as a member. My first book from Book of the Month was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. I am tearing through this book. It is so fun. It's basically about this woman who one day comes home and there's a husband in her apartment, and she's like, "Where did you come from?" And then she figures out that every time her new husband goes into the attic, a new husband comes out, and she's like shuffling through all these different husbands from the attic trying to figure out which one is the best. It is right up my alley, and I love it so much. So if you want to take part in Book of the Month and have a brand new book shipped right to your door every single month, go to bookofthemonth.com and get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That's $5 off with code PETALS. I cannot recommend this enough. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you all about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Right before I found out about this project, my mom made an offhand comment about wanting to write a memoir because she had such a wild childhood and there are all these things she's never really talked to us about. But asking someone to sit down and write a memoir is kind of daunting. So then I got her mylifeinabook.com, and now she's getting prompts to answer on a weekly basis, and it's a lot easier than just undertaking an entire memoir. I'm so excited to see what my mom does with mylifeinabook.com because she's someone who doesn't always feel comfortable just sharing about herself, but having these prompts and knowing that I really want to hear her answers is going to inspire her to probably share more with me about her life and her upbringing than I've ever been shared with before. So I'm so excited for that. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code JUSTBETWEENUS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code JUSTBETWEENUS for 10% off today.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, oh, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, T-R-U-V-A-G-A.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's Truvaga.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
Just between us.
And we're back.
I would love to know some of those feelings that you that didn't make it into the book and like how you do look back on that kind of childhood that you had.
Well, I'm really lucky. I was really lucky. And I think Rudy's character seems to be, it's that's, you know, I was living in LA. I was on a very popular television show, all that. And, you know, Nick Cannon's going off to do Drumline and Keenan's going on to SNL. And like, we're all kind of doing things. And I'm a senior in high school and I go to my public high school in Jersey and I want to go to college and I want to get that experience. And like, that was more important to me than like staying in LA and like trying to like hitch a ride on another gig and like try to continue on that path because I was doing it as a kid and it was fun. And then like you turn 18 and you get like money and they're like, all right, well, you could just stay here and like continue to do this, or I could just blow all this money on a liberal arts college degree and go, you know, party and have that like experience, because I know a lot of my friends who are child actors who chose to stay like didn't do that, you know. And maybe if I had been homeschooled and not gone to public school or been just on that constant tutoring tip, that I wouldn't have felt the need to go to college. I'm happy I went to Hampshire College. Is a very small like liberal arts school in Western Mass, and you know, a very diverse, inclusive, and like you can do your own thing, and really like a wonderful place to be. And it just felt like that was like where I needed to go. Like, it's like doing this was fun, but I play music now. And you know, I had this very jaded child actor mentality that was like, acting, you know, it's just like you're just like reading somebody else's lines and taking direction from somebody else. But this music, this 17 minute hippie jam that I wrote, that's me. That's all me. I wrote all that. And I like hung my hat on that, because it was like, I've been working consistently since I was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And still like trying to balance. Like my parents were like, they made sure that I went to regular school and I was in soccer and I played rec baseball. And I, you know, they tried really hard to make sure that I wasn't just on set and around adults and around, you know, the industry. Like, they really tried to make sure that I understood everything. I mean, I was a senior in high school and I had the biggest show on Nickelodeon. And on Saturdays and Sundays, I would work at the local bagel store in the town I grew up in, because my dad straight up told me, you know, this isn't going to last forever. And you need to understand and like learn the value of a dollar. And like, you got to work a little bit. So I had like a whole shtick where I was like, oh yeah, I'm friends with the owner. And like, he just needs some help. And I'm just trying to help out. And in actuality, that was my job. That's what I was doing. Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelo would come into the bagel store, because the next town over is a really rich town. One time, Mark Consuelo looked at me. He's like, what are you doing here, dude? He's like, I'm just so, my kids just watched you on TV. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm just doing it. So I'd like make bagels for people, and they'd like ask for an extra bag and ask me to sign it. And in that moment, like, you know, I kind of felt funky about it. And in hindsight, it's probably the greatest gift my parents gave me, was like the ability to be normal and be level-headed and continue to grow, where that stereotype of like child actors, their brains stop growing when they like, you know, have their 15 minutes, and that's like where they, you know, they continually stay there. And it does happen for some people. And I wish that I could help some friends that, you know, like I love Amanda. I want Amanda to be healthy and happy. And like, I feel like she deserves to feel normal and feel good. And she just constantly like gets pushed by tabloids and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, doesn't get the ability to like have that. And I think parents have a lot to do with how their kids are raised in But specifically for child actors, if you have parents who are stage parents and they're thinking about the next gig or they're thinking about the career and they're not thinking about like this, you've got like a, you know, a teenager who's going through all sorts of things. Like, I went from being on a on Pete and Pete, where I was like the cool, tough brother, you know, and then was on all that. And I was the butt of all the jokes. And I was like 16. And that was kind of weird for me, where I was like, oh, I'm like, you know, and in this other thing, I'm this like cool hipster, you know, whatever. Like, and this, I'm just getting like kind of shit on all the time. And like, it's funny. And I have thick skin and like, I get it. But it, as a developing 16-year-old to like go from up here to being like the butt of the jokes, it, you know, it kind of, it can mess with you, you know, it can mess with kids who are like doing a million different characters and like mm-hmm. while their brain is developing, like, you know, I feel like some, I don't know where little Pete and Danny sort of blur together, because that was like a really important time in my life for development. And I had people, you know, for like creatively and arts related stuff, music stuff. I had basically all these older brothers and sisters that would be like, oh, you got to check out this band or you got to see this movie. So I was, and I'm the oldest in my family. So I was the one bestowing information up, upon my sisters like that. But I was getting that from the, these crew members and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's just, it's about navigating it properly, and your parents have everything to do with it. And if you don't have something that you can, I guess going back to the me being jaded about the business, like being able to say that, hey, I'm going to school for music and I studied jazz and upright bass and really immersed myself in that. And that was like the other thing that I had that wasn't, you know, being on TV. Well, it's certainly not a stable business either, but like it was something that I was able to be like, well, you know, this doesn't work out. I'm doing this and this is important to me. And I think sometimes kids who are in the industry are so caught up in the one thing that they've done or the one big moment that they have that it's hard for them to like realize that there's other stuff going on. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, that can really make, that can make or break people. You know, if you don't have something good, you're the same person like, oh, it's like, oh, I just can't wait to do what I used to do because mm-hmm. It's all I have.
It's great that your parents had you going to school. It is interesting to be growing up with all these people and witnessing all of these different dynamics with their parents or different dynamics of you're not responsible for other, you know, for the people you grew up with when you were all just kids. But it is like a very, you know, for the grace of God kind of situation, which I do understand can be heavy, but it is so interesting. So you were like, I want to, like, this was fun, but I don't want to continue doing shows or doing stuff like that?
Well, I think it was probably a mix of senior year of high school, knowing that it was the last, you know, yeah. the last thing. And I'd only been, you know, I basically lived in LA from October to February. And then I had March, April, May, and June back in Jersey. So I was only in school for half of the year.
How did you have time?
Well, because I get tutored. So it was like,
yeah,
being tutored, I would blow through the curriculum because it's one-on-one. So you're just doing stuff as opposed to like having
yeah
to wait like the full week. Like I would get in trouble when I go back to school because I'm a wise ass and I want to make people laugh. And I'd be done with work. I'd be like, they're working on this. Like I did that 2 months ago. Like I'm done. Like I've done it all. Like, what do you mm-hmm. want me to do? Just sit here? Well, that's idle hands. Like, okay, well, I guess I had more Saturday detentions than I had Saturdays left in school. Because of
that. Yeah. I mean, what was the transition like to go from probably having so much attention on you and being like a kid celebrity to then trying to just like be a regular college student?
Well, I think going to a trippy hippie college like Hampshire helped a little bit because it kind of was less of the, I mean, UMass Amherst is down the road and there's 30,000 kids there.
Right.
It's not like the first time I went to a party at UMass was like a crazy experience because all these kids' minds are getting blown and you know, sign this, sign that. Some frat boy's like, hey, you sign my left testicle? And I was like, I was like, no, but give me your arm. And I wrote, you know, I drew a dick on his hand and then signed it. I was like, that's as good as you're going to get, pal.
Oh my God. Yeah, Hampshire's like too artsy, maybe. Those kids were like too artsy to give a shit.
Yeah, oh, but they, yeah, exactly. They, you know, I found the crew of people that I like to hang out with. My good friend Nicole, she and I went from fifth grade through college together. So we went, aww, you know, ended up going to Hampshire together and lived together there and had our friends that were kind of together. And it's just like a, you know, I went to school in Western Massachusetts and from Jersey. So a lot of kids were like, you know, went to Vermont or New Hampshire. So we were all kind of, as much as I made new friends and stuff like that, I still had those, like, you know, fifth grade roots kids who I only got as friends because they were all extras on The Adventures of Pete and Pete when I was the new kid. I moved in fifth grade and I was a new kid and I was like, how am I going to make friends? You guys want to be on TV?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Maybe the Hampshire people watched Pete and Pete because that was like artsy and hipster in its own way.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure they did. It was just a smaller experience. So it was nice to kind of like not have it be so public, you know?
Yeah.
It was still like small enough. And cell phones did not have cameras. So, you know, that was also helpful for some of the nefarious things that may or may not have happened at that school.
Yeah.
Psychedelically or not, or what have you.
What are your thoughts on like child actors now? Is that something you would advise parents to allow their kids to do, to not allow their kids to do? How do you feel about that lifestyle?
I get asked that a fair amount because, you know, I'm not biased here. I guess I am. I have very adorable children.
And oh.
I'll brag about it all day. They're so damn fucking cute, but they're also pains in my ass. You know, they could have a face for TV. And people have asked me about that. I wouldn't have a problem if I was on set with them, mm-hmm, as a parent because I am very familiar. I would make very good friends with the social worker immediately. Mm-hmm. And know where they are at all times.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think it's more of a kid's decision. You know, like I made the decision. I bugged my parents as a little kid. I was like, I like that. I can do that. I want to do that. And I'd met a manager and they were like, fine, go for it. And I booked something and I was like, this is fun. I booked something else and like, this is fun. And then I booked Pete and Pete and that like took me until I was in sixth grade. So yeah. It just kind of went. But I think there are parents that see their kids as like, they're really adorable. They should be on TV. And if they don't really want to, I don't think it's a, you know, It's a gray area. The thing that I don't like about it, and I said this long, I guess the kids from Stranger Things are probably all 18 now. But like, you know, thinking about social media and like how like you see like all these child actors and like this is mom approved account or something like that. You know, like that they're sort of like monitoring what's going on their social media feed. But having to just think about that in general sucks.
Yeah.
Like none of us we all do creative things. We all have to promote them. Is one of your favorite things about being creative going on social media and being like, make sure you buy this and make sure you do this and make sure you check this out. Yeah. It's not great. And to think about how that affects kids who are also developing and we're, you know, until we're in our like mid 20s, our brains fully capable of like understanding like full on reasoning for things and stuff like that and not getting over emotional. Like when you have like a 12-year-old kid, like have like a fun tweet and someone like says something nasty and like how that can like ruin something, like literally ruin somebody.
Yeah.
You know? And that to me is where like I feel like the line is.
Yeah. You are more insulated. I mean, there were reviews of Pete and Pete, maybe.
Sure. Yeah, it certainly wasn't in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Way back in the day when IMDb had the ability to comment on people's pages, which was
something that they were able to do that my college girlfriend had told me you should look at. There's some crazy stuff about people meeting me or like seeing my band, and like he stayed over at my friend's house, you know, like stuff like that. And you're just like, oh God, everybody knows everything. Like, what's going on here? But as like a kid, yeah, there was, you know, there was really none of that. It was more like they would send me, well, they tried to. And I said, I've been on a hit TV show on Nickelodeon. I don't have to go to this. Thank you. It was like, hey, this is how you're supposed to like treat fans, or like, you know, they gave like a tutorial of like being famous, essentially.
What? Nickelodeon did?
Yeah, for like new cast members on all that, they would, you know, they'd be like, hey, we need you to sit in on this, like, this will like give you like an idea of like how you like talk to fans. And so I was like, I don't need that. I've done it. I know, you know, I'm not an idiot. Like, you gotta like, you just be nice. I was always told, my mom's like, she's like, always like, turn it on them. Like, yeah, what I did was great. Like, but what do you like to do? And then you start a conversation, and then you have like these moments. And I believe in that. I think that was a really good thing to do, because as a 41-year-old adult now with good communication skills and like being a dad, like being empathetic and like trying to, you know, get a point across or listen or be someone who's like, I see you, you know, those are important things that not every kid growing up in the 90s got.
Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful. I mean, your parents sound great.
Yeah, they're pretty all right. They're pretty all right.
If you want to hear the rest of this episode, and let me tell you, you do, head over to patreon.com/justbetweenus. And for $3 a month, you can get access to all of our podcast episodes in full, ad-free.
You can also get merch for this podcast at justbetweenuspod.com or allisonraskinexposed.com.
Okay, that's it. Tatalatitu.
Tatalatitu.